Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of the Q3 results 2019 of FSC Energy AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Peter Podesser, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Kai, for the introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to, and thanks for joining our nine-month results call here. As always, Gerhard Hinninger and myself, we will together lead you through the key elements of the past quarter and the year-to-date business results. This time, we are looking back onto a difficult quarter, but it is also, I think, the right time to give you background and details on the reasons why we had to calibrate down our prognosis for this year just 2 days ago, and then also get back to the business discussion and then open up the floor here for questions and remarks from your side. What I would like to do is really start with the details and the reasons for calibrating the guidance down to the current levels of the expectations. Starting with, let's say, a guidance of 67 million-74 million revenue into the year with a respective EBITDA number of 4.5 million-7 million on an underlying basis. This was containing, amongst others, two key assumptions. The first one was for our biggest segment here for oil and gas. We saw already a challenging environment last year when doing the planning, and therefore, we ended up with an assumption of a flat development, so zero growth in oil and gas. The other one, and that's particularly important also if we look at this week, at the lower end of the guidance, we did not factor in the two programs working on with the German Army. We have the 67 million built up in a scenario without these key programs here of the German Army. Oil and gas, we have to see that the development during the year until mid-year and now especially also in the third year, was negatively impacted here by structural problems, especially in our core market of Western Canada, missing pipeline capacity and also uncertainties in regards to further approvals of further capacity here to transport the commodity out, led to severe hesitance in investment and simply to a lack of drilling activity, almost going down to levels here of the years 2016. What we see right now is that the segment is down by about 11% year-on-year in the nine months, and especially during the summer months, we saw a significant slowdown of activities with a real impact here. The quarterly figures are down 27% year-on-year, Q3 to Q3 on a revenue basis. Oil and gas, clearly not performing as expected and therefore also, I'd say, evaporating one of our key assumptions for the guidance. The other element now, German Army, seeing the oil and gas part during the year here deviating from our assumptions. Naturally, we had this as a backup here in our planning. At least one program of about 5 million euro of sales revenue should bring us to at least the lower end, but also almost up to the midpoint of the guidance. We have to say, situation here is clear since Wednesday of this week and unfortunately has changed. With, I'd say, a lack of visibility, especially after the summer month and after the summer break, I I escalated this up to highest levels of decision making and responsibility, and we got a direct feedback this Wednesday here by the National Armaments Director. I think for all of us here, this is the top responsible in the MOD, in the German MOD, for all procurements, so to speak. We talk here about the budget of 40 plus billion here, responsibility. And he also allowed me to, at the end, quote him on this. The demand for both programs is confirmed. As strange as it might sound at this point in time, the demand is confirmed higher than originally anticipated for the portable programs. We are talking about 500 plus systems here, and in an extended demand, even 700 plus systems, which leads to a total of value of more than 25 million, which is important. The 25 million threshold is a key element here. And also on the vehicle-based AMELI programs, we see that higher demand here is confirmed for, I'd say, a range between 1,000 and 2,000 units. And also this on the upper end brings us above a 25 million threshold. And why is this? And all those plannings are laid out for 3 to 5 years. We all know it usually takes longer, so in our own assumptions, we always we estimate 5 years minimum. But why is this 25 million threshold important? Because according to the legal environment here in Germany, procurements above 25 million euros have to get a separate approval and are under parliament supervision here. In this case, this has to go to the Armaments Committee and finally is passed in the Cabinet. And there is a significantly higher level of documentation necessary. And the feedback this week, the feedback this Wednesday afternoon was clearly, this is not completed yet and it will not be completed by end of November, and therefore no procurement and therefore no shipment, no sales revenues for SFC in 2019. Very unhappy about this development in the, I'd say, perspective of 2019, but I think especially also for 2020 onward, it is important that this is not a cancellation. The programs are there, and also clear confirmation from the ministry. There's, let's say, no other solution, no other technology here out there for selection. But this naturally now gets us back to our ad hoc announcement. Oil and gas being down 11% in the first 9 months, and then German Army being pushed out to 2020. We had no other option than to pull our guidance and bring it down to the level where we have it now, from 58 to 62 million. On an internal note here, I think we are not, I'd say, blind on our internal eyes. We have to say we are, or we have been too optimistic here. We have to be nearer to our customer here. And we also concluded together with the MOD that we have to improve project management here from either side, and we will do this. Now, getting back to the third quarter and getting back to, I'd say, the business in the first 9 months. We already discussed oil and gas. We also discussed the German defense part. And with all this, we should not neglect some of the positive development. If we look into the defense business here, we have significant improvement and inroads into further international accounts. We also see that we have a consistent, robust growth here on our power business, on our industrial business. And definitely the highlight here is the momentum in our clean energy and mobility business here. In both subsegments, industrial applications, consumer application, the receptiveness here for fuel cells is very visible. Key drivers here is surveillance and civilian security, as well as the wind energy and the main regions driving the growth are Europe and Asia. In this particular business segment also, we are starting to report now our hydrogen pursuit, our hydrogen product. And there, I think we can, for the first time, report a contract and an award of a frame agreement here for our new hydrogen product, our Jupiter product. Together with our partner Upcore, we have concluded here a two-year arrangement to supply hydrogen fuel cells for a German government digital radio program. The first products are being produced as we speak. Material is coming in. And within a period of 24 months, we are delivering here between 200 and up to 650 systems, reflecting a value of 1.8 to 5.3 million. Clearly ahead of our internal schedule, and if we look at the number of products, I think this is what we had in there in our original three-year planning. Let me now go into the individual segments, and starting again now with the numbers on oil and gas. I mentioned already, I'd say the sales fell by 11% year on year to 16.6 million euros, and especially the third quarter saw a slowdown here by 27.7% compared to last year. We see the major impact here outside the fuel cell business. We see it with our power product, especially being directly linked to the drilling activity. At the same time, we see continuous growth here with a high margin fuel cell with our EFOY business. The EFOY business, despite the decline of the overall business, is on target for our budget number. We are right now reporting about 12% of the revenue now being out of the fuel cell business. And also the expansion of this business into the U.S. is stepping ahead, and we are moving ahead. We just signed another sales partnership here for an important region in the U.S. This naturally should help us to reduce the dependency on the Canadian oil and gas business in the long run. We also did not simply accept the situation here in the oil and gas segment, and we naturally started to reduce our cost overall. And a headcount reduction was simply inevitable. Seeing the situation, a headcount reduction of about 10% was completed by end of September here with our subsidiary Cymark. Industrial business, I think we can say this is on track. This is consistent, robust growth, about 6% growth here year to date. We have some signs of slowdown in a subsegment here in the semiconductor business. Most prominent customer, ASML, they are in a cyclical business, and therefore we are with them. But we overcompensated this with, new business in the laser segment with our new platform here of products developed over the last years, but at the same time also with existing customers, especially in the analytical market. Key focus here is continue here on the growth path. At the same time, margin improvement from, let's say, price increases to supply chain activities, and Gerhard will allude to this. Defense and security. We already spent quite some time on this, so let me summarize where we are. 9 months year-on-year, we are down by 3.7%. The main topic here is that we had a big shipment in first quarter 2018 here for the German Army. But then looking at the international business, two-thirds of the current year-to-date nine-month revenues are coming from international accounts. We are up by about 80% on the international business. And I think it's also important to mention in our German business, we have 750,000 of services in there, which are key and important for business development here, especially to place fuel cells in vehicles. But by nature, this is comparatively lower margin. Getting now back to the numbers on clean energy and mobility, I mentioned we show momentum here, especially Europe and Asia. The 15.6% growth, if we break this down, we see that the industrial business here grows with about more than 20%, 22%, driven by wind and surveillance and civilian security applications. But also on the consumer side, I think we show an initial turnaround here and a pickup here of sales driven by two developments. The one is really regional rollout of the business to North America, and the other one is simply higher receptiveness from end users for clean energy generation again. With this, I would like to conclude now the segmental overview and hand over to Gerhard for the financial analysis.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please let me give you an overview on our margin and earnings situation, as well as on balance sheet and cash. I will go a little bit deeper into the information on our individual four segments. As you know, defense and security, which is a part of the SFC business, clean energy and mobility, also part of the SFC business, industry, which is the Dutch company PBF, and oil and gas is Simac in Western Canada. On the revenue, Peter already mentioned that the SFC group achieved sales of 43.8 million in the three quarters of 2019, and this is a decline of 1.1%, means almost the same as in prior year's period with 44.3. The total decrease is 500,000 or exact 485,000. On SFC HE, we had a plus of 800K. Thereof was defense round about minus 0.3 million, but this was more than compensated by clean energy was plus 1.1 million, so in total plus 0.8 million. The PBF, the Dutch operation, Dutch and Romanian operation, had plus 0.7 million in revenue. And unfortunately, Simac, our Canadian oil and gas business, was $2 million lower than in the year before. So at least this comes to the $500,000, which we are short compared to last year. Let's have a look on quarter three and compare with the prior year's figures. First of all, till middle of 2019, we've been absolutely on track. So the shortfall more or less happened in quarter three. In the third quarter, the revenue was at 12.7 million, and this was around about 5% or 700K lower than what we achieved in 2018's third quarter was 13.4 million. So from 13.4 to 12.7 million. PBF was on the same level as in the prior year. SFC was around 1.1 million higher, and that's the positive thing that the EFOI business is on a good track, but as said before, the shortfall in total from Simac was 2 million, thereof was 1.8 million in the third quarter. Let's go to our gross profit. The margin in total for the group was percentage-wise the same as in prior year with 33.1%. Last year we achieved 14.7 million. This year we achieved 14.5 million, almost the same figures, same as in as we had in sales. The gross profit in the third quarter amounted to 4.1 million, and this was also the same figure as in the prior year. The good thing, and I don't want to forget also some things, even if the figures are not what we wanted to have, the margin was 32.3%. The year before it was around about 2% lower. Looking on the individual segments, and in times like this, we need to have a close look on the margin, especially in times like this. In the oil and gas segment, we were almost on the level of the last year. Last year was 28.4 million, this year 28.1 million. So at least the revenue, even if it was on a significant lower level, especially from the third quarter, this was not impacted from a lower margin, because usually if the revenue goes down, you also have to sacrifice this with a lower margin because you want to sell everything. So at least we could keep the margin. That's a positive thing. Of course, not the revenue. What else was positive? That we are stronger with the EFOIS. Peter mentioned this. We brought this up to 12.6% of the complete product revenue at Zymag, and the year before was 2% lower. And we still expect something to happen till end of the year. Yeah. The E4 is the highest margin product we have in Canada, and the focus is really to chase this. The next segment, industry, the Dutch operation was almost stable with 29.2% compared to 29.4% from prior year. So, and even in both quarter threes, we had the same percentages, so this is stable. What we are doing there is, because we're always looking for ways to improve the margin, is that the NRE revenue will be chased again more in addition to the product revenue, because this is very helpful on the margin situation. So we take this as a windfall once it comes in. The gross margin on the defense and security, that didn't make me happy, because we went from 48.2% to 41.8%. So this is a decrease of 6.4%. There are two reasons. First of all, we mentioned this. This was the lower revenue amount we had with the German Army. This went down at least from 3.9 to a little bit more than 800K, almost 900K. So this is around about one quarter. And of course, this is high margin business. At least we get paid for the development we invested during the last 10, 12 years. The second reason was this consulting revenue, which comes with a margin of 22 to 25%. This doesn't make me nervous. I worked in the consulting business. This is a margin which is normal in a business like that. But of course, if you have it on around about 750K service revenue, this brings the margin down for the complete segment. We will have a close look on this, and we'll also figure out what we can do to improve this, and also what is the way going forward with this part of the segment. Positive was the achievement in clean energy and mobility. We mentioned this before, where we improved the margin from last year's 38.4% to 43%. What is the reason? First of all, we increased the number of the EFO units we sold from around about 1,500 to around about 1,650. This was not always the case that we increased the EFO numbers, so this is a positive trend. Of course, we had a stronger industrial business with the industrial applications in this, which of course is higher than the consumer part of this segment. And I think we meanwhile have a very stable customer base, and they are willing to pay these prices, and this brings us to this 43% in margin. Overall, the gross margin year-to-date for the group was stable with 33.1%, and we are heavily working on this margin improvements I mentioned before, especially this NRE on PBF side. More defense in Germany, of course, this would help. I'm not talking about the service and consulting revenue. I'm talking about product revenue. And also increase the industry applications in the segment. Oil and gas means more EFOI there because this is also very helpful on the margin. And as said, as we all know, the margin is a key element in improving the earning figures. Again, let me give you a quick overview on the EBITDA and EBIT, and I will give you a more detailed summary afterwards, which reduces this at least to one number, because if you look at the figures with underlying, non-underlying, and especially with my best friend IFRS 16, this gives an overview which is not very helpful, quite frankly. But at least I have to bring the numbers here. The group EBITDA decreased from last year's year-to-date for the three quarters from 937K to plus 195K, so at least 750K less. The EBITDA adjusted, and the only position in adjusted I will mention this afterwards, is the expenses for the stock appreciation rights. The SaaS was almost stable. We came from 2.0 million to 2.2 million. The group EBIT decreased from round about 100K to minus 2.2 million. And of course, here is the underlying effect included. And the underlying EBIT, where we took this out, decreased from 1.2 million to minus 0.2 million. To give you a true and fair view, because this really looks weird and I made an overview, what is really the difference between the operational business, taking out all the underlying effects, taking out the impact from the IFRS 16, and I did this on quarter by quarter basis, at least it comes down that we have compared to last year's 9 months, we had around about 1.5 million higher costs. And this, I can trace this over each quarter. This was in each quarter around about 500K. What is the reason for this? This is a higher cost basis of this mentioned 500K per quarter. And these are investments, means expenses for future growth, mainly in headcount. Most of this around about two-thirds is based on sales costs, which are higher than the year before. And of course, this is necessary to enable the growth path we going on. We know that this did not happen in quarter three, but of course, this is the way going forward, and Peter will say something about this later on, I guess. The consolidated net result decreased to minus 2.7 million from minus 0.8 million last year, and the earnings per share decreased from minus 8 cents to minus 27 cents. So this is almost a copy of the consolidated net result. On the balance sheet, the equity ratio, of course, increased because of the capital increase we did. Now we are now at 55%. On the other hand, this was a little bit diluted from the negative effect from IFRS 16 because this brings us a higher balance sheet sum, and so this is the counterpart of the capital increase. But at least we increased from 43% to 55% on the equity ratio. This is also very helpful in discussions with bank because they look at this and this enables us to get some credit lines starting from quarter four. The group had 286 permanent employees at the end of September 2019. At the end of December 2018, we had 278 people or heads. The available cash is a little bit more than 23 million. At the end of last year, we had around about 7 million. The order backlog, and I know this is always a figure analysts are looking on, went down from 17.3 million to 10.3 million compared during the last 12 months. But of course, this number will change again once we have in the Jupiter order, and the contract is on our desk already. And of course, the second reason is that the Bundeswehr orders are missing. Usually we would have had this in at the end of quarter three and then turn this into revenue in quarter four. But we don't have it, so we have this shortfall in the backlog from 17 to 10. Okay, with this, I may hand back to Peter Potter, who will give you a summary of explanations on the outlook. And with this, I give back to you, Peter.
Thank you, Gerhard. So, looking at, and Gerhard mentioned this already, we have started to invest into, let's say, the midterm growth, and naturally, this sounds and is a difficult message in a period where you, let's say, cut your guidance and you don't hit your numbers. But at the same time, if we don't do those investments right now, we can also not expect midterm growth. And I wanted to report to you also on where we stand with the initiatives that we also communicated for and before the capital raise here in early summer. Regional expansion of the business, organic growth. We have put on some more salespeople with the key focus here, expanding our footprint here in Asia as well as in the U.S. In the U.S., as mentioned, we have signed another partnership here. In Asia, we are working not only on the organic growth here, expanding existing partnerships like the one we have in Japan here with our core partner Toyota, but we are also in, and that's the second element of growth, in advanced negotiations for our first M&A transactions. Expectation here is to get to a conclusive stage here before the end of the year. Also on the M&A front, we had published this before. We are evaluating here projects to transform part of the business model into a more data-based business model, getting ahead with this and in the midst of, I would call it, really serious examinations and negotiations. The development on the product side, documented by the contract we just reported on, hydrogen is, I would say, definitely on track. It's good to have the first significant contract in, but it is at least as important that this product is now ready. This product is now ready for launch and sales beginning of the year. As I said, production is starting as we speak, and we will now bring it into our existing pipelines and naturally also into, I'd say, new segments. The last project here, we are preparing, as also reported before, a new generation of our core product, EFOI. The project is on track for a launch in 2020. And naturally here also, expenditure is further, let's say, R&D capacity and headcount into this. So overall, this is pressing ahead here with full concentration and dedication, and again, expecting first results here, especially on the M&A front here before the end of the year. And now getting back to the guidance, I think it is important to also state this clearly here. We are extremely unhappy and disappointed with the fact that we had to pull down our guidance now to 58 to 62 million in revenue and the EBITDA range down to 0.5 to 2.5 million and the respective numbers here for the EBIT for 2019. We will take this as naturally a point to revise also our internal approach to some of the pursuits we have and learn the lessons out of this to prevent us from running into a situation like this again a year from now. Still, I would like to reconfirm here that we are clear about and optimistic about the midterm outlook. This, we leave it unchanged, and the main reason is, yeah, we are reducing, as we speak, the dependency on those two key elements. We are expanding our oil and gas business into the U.S., but we are also expanding our clean energy and mobility business in the U.S. Means more U.S. business, but also more EFOY business in North America. Means being still cautious on the growth expectations here in this segment, but reducing dependency. And also on the defense side, pressing ahead with the internationalization and very clear for next year's planning, at the maximum, we will factor in one program here with the German army into our planning. And so therefore, midterm plan to surpass the 100 million mark here in 3 to 4 years with a respective EBITDA ratio above 10% remains unchanged. I think the backup factor here that we cannot fully quantify is really our hydrogen business. We are fully ahead of schedule, and we have not even started to sell it outside this German program so far. So our sales team will start with this work right at the beginning of 2020. With this, I would like to thank you for your attention and open up the floor here for questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question received is from Stefan Kepp from Commerzbank. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys. Stefan speaking here. I have a few questions. First of all, let's talk about M&A. So in the past, you have been alluding to an Indian, probably, partnership to secure that you can still sell to the Indian Armed Forces. So if you talk about M&A proceeding in Asia, are we talking about exactly that? And then if it's just a joint venture, so we shouldn't see any sales impact. It's just safeguarding a sales channel. So no extra sales from that acquisition. Is it right to assume? And probably we tackle one question after another. That's probably easier for you guys than me.
Yes, good morning, Stefan. You hit it on the head. We are talking here about India, but I think we have to differentiate here. We are talking about two things. The one is really getting access to larger and large-scale programs, which we would not get without having a local content, means really addressing a protectionist procurement regime, and the other one is shipments here for the core products here of such a system from Germany definitely would increase with no compromise on the margins here. So we expect an impact here of growth, but still not compromise on the margins here from SFC to the respective unit then in India.
Yeah, but when it's a joint venture, so you're not going to account for the sale, so you would basically have that at equity, in my opinion. So it would just boost your margins, and we don't see the sales anymore in the fuel cell, in the defense and security business. Isn't that right to assume?
We are not yet at the point that the full, our ratio of equity there is fully decided. So still, I think we have both options here.
So, Stefan, hi, this is Gerd speaking. This depends mainly if we go over 50% or if we're under 50%. So we're still in negotiations on that.
Yes. Okay, but even if you close the transaction, we won't see any immediate support in this year anyhow, but probably as well only a startup, a ramp-up in next year, so it's not going to be a game-changer in the short term.
Short term, you're absolutely right, but
yeah, okay.
2021, I think we naturally will see this in our growth path.
Okay. Are there any M&A transactions that you're thinking about and looking into? You looked as well into other things in the past. Anything you can comment on this front?
We are working consistently on some of the pursuits, but none of it is in a stage here where we say this is going to mature in within 2019, except a smaller transaction here in Germany where we are looking at expanding the business here to a database business model of a partner we have been working with, which is from a business model perspective extremely important and interesting.
Okay.
Hey, Stefan, you know, we have to handle this very careful because people see we have some money and, of course, they're calling prices which we can't accept. So it takes a little bit longer till the people can come a little bit down from their assumptions. Yeah.
Okay, understood. Let's go for the next area of questions. So you talk about the hydrogen business running better than you originally expected. But as I got it or understood it, so we're not going to see any sales in 2019, so you're ramping up and the first sales or shipments start in 2020. Is it right to assume?
We still, let's say, have the option to ship things here in December, but this is depending more on the timing here of the final users, which are, again, government authorities. So seeing where we are right now, 15th of November, I would think the first shipments are realistically in Q1.
Yeah, and you gave us a very broad range from 1.8 to 5 point something. Well, that is a quite broad range, as said. So what's determining the lower end or the upper end?
The determining factor is simply which part will be produced here by us and which part ADCO will be able to produce on their own.
You said in the part that ADCO doesn't have any production capacity, so should we immediately assume the larger point?
No, I think what we have is naturally we have invested now into a full assembly line and our partner has been there doing all the pilot systems so far, and the capacity naturally of the pilot line here is by itself limited. And at this point in time, I do not assume that they are going to invest into significant expansion. But still, the minimum level of the 200, this is confirmed, this is secure, and going into next year, I think we will be able then to either, increase, well, it's an increasing of the units anyhow, but better to simply take the 200 as the safe basis. That's the minimum.
Okay, so and just to be very precise here, so these are those federal states of Germany where you have the police radio communication backup system. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yes, and the first three provinces, the tenders, are decided, and Jupiter platform is selected for all three provinces.
Okay. Okay. So last area of question is, again, German MOD. Can you, we had a little chat yesterday, but can we, or 2 days ago, can we talk about the paperwork thing again and the first time that we should see orders coming through? Because I think that's the most disappointing factor for all market participants. So the paperwork issue, is it on your side or is the side of the government? Or is it a joint, let's say, shortcoming?
Well, unfortunately, there's not so much we can complement here, because that's naturally an internal process here on the side of the government party. The fact that we are surpassing this 25 million threshold per se naturally is midterm a positive, but it doesn't help us this year. It really backfires this year, because at the end, therefore, we are losing sales in 2019. And why? Well, we talked about this. Why do I or we still believe in Bundeswehr at the end? Direct feedback here from highest ranking levels. Why should, let's say, such a feedback come back to us if they were not sure about the technology? We know also from, let's say, the armaments and the household committee in the parliament that this is in there. And now it is just go back here, I would not say to square one, but it's going back a couple of steps and take again the loose ends and try to support as much as we can. And then getting back to the question, when is this realistic? There will be no decision in Q1. So this is earliest in late Q2 and then Q3
of
2020.
But Stefan, of course, our job will be to be as close as possible to this, talk to these people, fix them, and have these orders in our view.
No, I totally understand it. But that means as well that the positive mix shift is not coming through in the next two quarters. Q4 is going to be rather weak because we have a high comms. So I'm just rather thinking when, let's say, numbers are looking up again, and that rather things seems to be H2 2020, is that right to assume?
Well, I think the impact, we should not neglect the impact here of the clean energy and mobility business here with let's say a consistent dynamics in there, adding then the hydrogen part of it, which is also, let's say, a 40% gross margin business. We will see an impact of the civilian fuel cell business here, but on the defense side, the German part, with the experience we have just right now, we will not be, let's say, over aggressive and overly optimistic here and factor something into H1. International business still clear. We have a fiscal year end in India, end of March. We see, let's say, developments here in the Middle East. We see developments in Southeast Asia, in Indonesia, where I would say one of those projects will be in within the first 6 months.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad now. And the next question we received is from Carsten von Blumenthal, First Equity Research. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. This is Carsten. At first, I would like you to give us an update on the oil and gas business in Canada. When do you expect a return to normal business there?
Carsten, good morning. Peter again. Well, the current assumption is that we will see, let's say, this business year on year down around 12-13% 2018 to 2019. Why do we expect, let's say, a 5% rebound here in 2020? As mentioned before, the EFOI part is growing consistently here, although we are in a still, let's say, structurally depressed situation in the Canadian market. The EFOI part is still, let's say, expanding there. The other part is oil and gas and non-oil and gas E4 business in the U.S. where first projects are in, the pipeline is building up. That's where we, let's say, derive our assumptions from here for a 2020 picture. So the other element is that, let's say, first approvals here for pipeline capacity have been given, and there is an expectation in there that in the later part of 2020 there will be some easing on this transportation pressure here also on the local oil and gas industry. But clearly the strategy here is more E4 business and a stronger focus on the U.S.
All right, when you say later part 2020, that means H2 and easing in transport capacity restraints?
As far as we see it right now, I think that's definitely a year-end part of the business, but what at least industry reports are anticipating is, let's say, a pickup of drilling ahead of this because people are taking a certain time until then they are able to exploit and get the material, get the resources out of the ground. So there should be a time lag in there of 6-12 months, but means preparing to be able then to ship as soon as transportation limits are, let's say, being reduced.
All right, understood. Gerhard, you mentioned that the oil and gas gross margin was rather strong given the lower sales. My question is, will we see this development also in Q4, or do you expect rather lower gross margin? Because I was positively surprised to see this high gross margin at lower sales. And how is your outlook there for Q4?
Hello, Carsten. Yeah, I expect more or less a stable gross margin what we had on an ongoing basis so far.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Peter, you mentioned that your hydrogen fuel cell business next year will mostly go into clean energy and e-mobility. So can we expect that basically all the hydrogen growth will be seen in that segment, or will we at some point in the future also see hydrogen fuel cells in other segments?
Well, again, there is the fastest adoption. There is also, let's say, we have to see also that this is a product that has been out there in the market, means there is also an installed business from the previous fuel cell companies out there, and therefore the time to market is faster. We have already presented the product concept now with different defense organizations to see whether we can get some R&D and JDA funding on this for next year. So, but that's, we know that's an exercise that takes a certain time with those organizations. So there we more assume maybe a smaller JDA for a ruggedized Jupiter platform. And then on the oil and gas side, also there we have learned that this is a very conservative environment, and there we just expect some pilots going out and no scaling in those two segments so far.
And the good thing is, Carsten, there is a new law which gives grants up to 500K for product, for development, and we also will try to chase this and get back to grants what we had in prior years.
Subsidies, yeah.
Subsidies. But this is just at the beginning.
And this law is for Germany, or?
It's for Germany, yeah.
Okay.
Part of the tax law.
Mm-hmm. All right. You very well explained the lower defense gross margin because of the consultancy business. After 9 months, you had roughly 800K euros in consultancy revenues. Do you have any idea how high the share of consultancy business compared to the total defense business could be in the future? Because it's rather difficult to estimate the future gross margin if we don't have an idea how much that could be.
Yeah. First of all, the outlook for the end of the year, there will not be too much in the quarter four, so we will be pretty stable on the number we have already after three quarters. And as said before, for next year, we will have a deeper look into this and see what we can do on this or what we maybe not do on that. Because, of course, we don't like this. That it brings the margin down, so a mix with 5% should be the maximum in our revenue.
Just 5%?
Yeah, although it's helpful for really the business development, especially positioning our vehicle-based platforms. There's only so much of a potential market out there for those services, and B, we also need to see that the dilutive effect here is not getting too strong.
I mean, I fully see
We have to think about the business model on that. Maybe we can be positioned in a different way that we don't do the whole work and are just somewhere in the whole chain.
The idea is also to see, can we translate part of it into, let's say, what I mentioned before here, JDAs for the hydrogen-based product or for a 500-watt unit, because then we can also do, well, then we again talk about a different margin level, but also a different value chain.
I fully see the industrial logic of the consultancy business. It's basically, it's say, if you simplify, paid business development. So that is fully understood. It is just for estimating future margins. It is helpful to have a feeling what could be the volume of these consultancy contracts. So thanks for that. Regarding your SAR costs, I was surprised to see that after 9 months, it was down to 2 million. We had, I think, 2.6 million after H1. But the share price, the average share price in Q3 was significantly higher than a year ago. So could you comment on this? Why has it come down, and what do you expect in Q4?
Carsten, for the calculation, the basis is always the share price at the end of the quarter. And at the end of quarter three, we have been significantly lower than at the end of quarter two, where we had something like a peak in. And of course, this depends where we will be on December 31 or 30 with our share price. And that is the trigger for the amount we will have in the accruals, and of course what we will have in the P&L.
So basically, it depends on not on the previous year's quarter, but on the previous quarter.
It depends on the quarter's end number. But the share price is at the quarter end.
Yeah, compared to the previous quarter.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Always look on March 31, June 30, September 30, and December 30-31.
Perfect. Understood. Yeah, basically, that have been my questions. Thank you very much for answering them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carsten.
The next question we received is from Mrs. Mann from ABN AMRO. Your line is now open, madam. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerard. This is Lotte Mons, ABN AMRO. First, on clean energy and mobility, can you give some color on why do you expect to grow so fast in 2020?
Yes, good morning, Lotte. Thank you very much. So I think what we see here is that with all, let's say, the partnerships we have built up here in Europe, I'd say core markets like Germany, like the UK, like Scandinavia, we are now in a repeat business mode, and at the same time we see significant bigger projects coming in. There is a key drive here, replacing conventional off-grid energy sources, and fuel cells really are seen as an alternative here. And this are projects of, let's say, APUs for vehicles. This is, let's say, the wind energy business that we originally only thought to be an onshore business here for the wind measurement and for their backup power. This more and more goes to an offshore an offshore business that demands even longer autonomy, and therefore we have an advantage here. Surveillance and security, same thing. If we now look into Asia, we just concluded a two-day exercise with a high-ranking delegation here from our partner Toyota Tsusho in Japan. They have shown highest sales in e-voice since we do this together last 4 years, consistent growth. Their interest now is to include hydrogen products, 500 watt products. Again, application from the surveillance to wind, and also then, let's say, APU applications. There is a, let's say, realistic chance to expand the business with them to other parts of Asia. We have invested into building up partnerships in China. We are active, as you know, in Singapore. So this is this is not a single project pursuit here that is digital like the German army, which makes us so vulnerable. This is really broad, driven by end users' demand and the advantages here the fuel cells bring, and the confidence to get also higher power systems, DMFC and hydrogen in. It's just based on what we see in the pipeline.
Okay, thanks. And then on the oil and gas saving plan, how much is that going to cost, and how much is it going to deliver, and how many people is it going to be, which is concerned?
Yeah, hello, Lotte, this is Gerhard. On this plan, and it's much easier to do something in Canada because people are used to this and you don't have to go through union, and so this impacted at least, I think it was 6 people. It didn't cost too much. This was a salary or two what you pay them, and then this is done. Furthermore, with the regional finance director, I went through each line of the P&L, and we double-checked what is necessary and where we can make some savings, even negotiation with landlord and stuff like that. So we looked at every figure in the P&L. Yeah. And whenever it's possible, will be on an ongoing basis. We will make the savings and not spend the money on what we identified. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That was it for me.
Thank you, Lotte.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I hand back to the speakers.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of you for your time and interest in SFT as usual. Gerhard and myself, as well as Susan, here we are available for questions and bilateral discussions. Thank you very much.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.